The blossoms on the trees stir up the honeybees. Spring makes my fever rise.
Tell you what, the bees have been buzzing around our ash trees, and the first, I've got two varieties of peach, and the one variety, it's almost done with its bloom.
Oh,
that pink peach blossom in the spring is a lot of fun.
Desert gold, probably, yeah.
Yes, yeah, I was trying to remember, picturing the map in my mind, which varieties where, yes.
Wait,
yes,
hold on, you keep gold. A map of where the trees are in your yard?
I did.
Oh, you're much better than I am, man. I just plant the trees.
So for the time it's a flower now to peach, what are you looking at? How much time?
May, June?
Yeah, mid-May is when the desert gold peaches arrive, so what's it, mid-February, mid-March, mid-April, so 60, 90 days?
That's quick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and my apricot, I was looking out at my apricot this morning, and it's just budding out now, and we'll have those, so it'll be blooming, let's call it March 1st, we'll be harvesting those about May 15th, so that's even a shorter amount of time.
While we're on the subject of that, a local television personality who I communicate with had said that her citrus trees this year, her oranges were really small to medium. She didn't have anything large, and she found that the juice was a little more tart than last year.
Uh-huh.
Would the hot summer have something to do with that? Okay.
Yes,
confirmed
absolutely.
Confirmed it.
So we talk a lot about fruit trees because I am big time into fruit trees in the valley and knowing how to grow them. And the past couple of years, we've had, with the extreme heat, we've had to go to extreme tree care. And extreme tree care is granular fertilizing, it's foliar fertilizing, it's shading the ground with some kind of ground cover underneath the tree. Make sure you paint your trunk or wrap your trunk. So there's a bunch of things that need to be done to successfully do that. And I'd be more than happy to talk to them about...
All right, Celeste Rodriguez at Fox 10, you just got your answer.
All right. I was just on Fox 10 this morning talking to Ty. So soil... That's where we need to go next. So you've figured out where your garden goes, and you've gotten a sense of how to water it and, you know, how to get it in place in your yard. If you try and grow with dirt, the dirt that you have in your yard, in fact, Kari Spencer tells this story 15 or 20 years ago when she started her garden. She went out in her backyard and got some dirt, dug up some dirt out of her backyard, put it in pots, and was a miserable failure. Of course.
Unless you're trying to grow creosote. That seems to be, you know, pretty effective at creosote growing.
Well, there you go. Never tried it.
That's not good eating, though.
Exactly. Exactly. So there are five components of healthy soil, and dirt is one of them. Dirt is a very important piece, but if all you have is dirt, which is broken down rock, it's all the minerals in there. If that's all you have, good luck growing anything. It's just not going to happen. So the five components are... Do you remember?
Well, I was reading the notes during the break. I remember three of the five right off the other two. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
So dirt, airspace, water. So you have to, it needs to be fluffy and, you know, the water needs to be able to flow through it. Dirt, airspace, water, organic matter, and everything that's alive in the soil. And the good news is that it's a real easy fix. Add lots and lots and lots of organic matter.
And all the other things just seem to kind of fall into place.
Exactly. You know, it'll take time. If you have straight dirt and try and grow something, you know, with 2, 3, or 4 inches of organic matter on top, that's a good start. But it'll take 2 or 3 or 4 years of adding a couple inches of compost or planting mix on top of your garden beds every year in order to get the soil really good. The heat burns up the organic matter in our soil. It's amazing to watch. I'll add 4 inches of compost to my gardens. It's one of the things I'm going to be doing in the next couple of weeks. 4 inches of compost to my gardens. And by the end of the summer, most of it will be gone. The plants have taken it up, but the heat just cooks it out of the space. So make sure that you grow healthy soil. And there's many different ways to grow healthy soil. I like to talk about Jan's instant garden. I went to Jan's house, a longtime friend of mine, and maybe 10 years ago. And she had an on an eastern exposure, so it was on the east side of her house, so it was getting morning sun, a garden bed that was 4 feet wide and 14 feet long. And I went in and I put in 4 inches of planting mix right on the top. What didn't I do?
Dig.
I didn't dig. Exactly. So I put in 4 or 5 inches of compost right on and planting mix right on top of her garden, and we planted. And then what we did is we let the roots do the rest of the work. And what happens is if you're doing that, 5 inches on top, planting your garden, the next year you add 2 more inches, the next year you add 2 more inches, before long you start getting this healthy soil that's not 4 or 5 inches thick, but that's 6 or 8 inches thick. In fact, doing this at the urban farm, a few years ago I actually had a problem because we get flood irrigation, remember I said that? And over the course of about 20 years, my garden beds got higher than my flood irrigation because I'd go in every year and I'd add a couple inches of compost. And so I went in, I'm going to say about 8 years ago, I went in and I dug down. I had to go down 18 inches before I hit dirt. Now, at that point, I'd been putting compost on that bed for about 20 years. But that's how it works. That's how you build healthy soil.
And so what'd you do with all that soil that you dug out?
Well, so what I did is I dug down 16 inches. I took out 5 inches of dirt underneath it, and then I dug the next trench. And so I kind of it's a French digging concept where you dig a trench and then move the soil from the row next to it into the trench you dug. And then I used it to fix the berms at the urban farm.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's one way to build healthy soil. You've heard me say this before, and I always get a funny look. I like weeds growing in my yard. First of all, a lot of weeds are edible. Number one, mallow and purslane and lamb's quarters. Those are all edible weeds that grow wild here. But the other thing that they do, and remember I said one of the components of healthy soil is airspace, right? If you let a mallow plant get 3 feet tall in your yard, it's got a 3 foot deep root on it. What you do is you cut that. I use, the carpet cutters. They're about 6 inches long and got a handle on them. I use the carpet cutters. I grab the top of it and I go about a half inch below the soil and I cut that weed off. First of all, the weed now is a nutrient dense treat for the chickens or the compost pile. Secondly, I cut the growing point off of the weed in the ground, so it's not going to grow anymore. And I left a compost spike that's 3 feet long in the ground that rots and makes an airspace so that the water can get in. So, you have to manage weeds well in your yard, but it's not a bad thing to have them.
There are a few areas I will let them grow after learning that, like in the orchard. And then I'll just take either, I've got two things. I've got a sickle.
Yep.
That... once you get used to it, mm-hmm. those are very efficient.
Oh, heck yeah.
And I'll do that around and close up to the trees where the bush hog can't reach. Right. Because I'll just drag the bush hog over the rest of them, chop them off, and just leave it all there and let it compost.
Right, exactly. Because that's another way. In permaculture, we call it sheet mulching or lasagna gardening, where you actually put down layers of organic matter and they break down over time, building healthy soil, just like in the forest. Nobody goes and rakes the forest. The leaves fall, the branches fall, plants die, deer come by and poop. And over time, what you get is this really rich, amazing soil.
And that's what we're doing, just letting it all compost naturally on top. And in fact, I like all the leaves from the deciduous
yes.
trees in the orchard. We don't even rake those up anymore. When I trim, I've got a big stack of branches, and there's a 3-point attachment I want to get for the tractor that's a chipper.
Mm-hmm.
So you just hook it up to the back of the tractor, and all those branches that are piling up, we'll just chip them all right back into topsoil on top of the orchard. And then we even take manure from the horse pens, and mm-hmm. we spread it out in there and just let it all...
That's all organic matter.
Take its natural course.
Yeah, that's your fix. Add lots and lots and lots of organic matter.
And that helps bring the 5 things that we need. Airspace.
Water.
Dirt, organic matter, and all things living. So exactly. When you add that organic, the living things just they come.
Yeah. Well, and it's amazing. I can't tell you how many people call or email me and say, I added all kinds of organic to my matter to my garden, and the worms showed up.
They come out
of thin air. Yeah, they just show up. It's amazing.
And there's other living things in our soil as well.
Oh, the microbiome of the soil. If you really want to jump in and learn about the biology of soil, Elaine Ingham is an internationally known soil expert. I've had her on my podcast a couple of times. And she really explains the depth and breadth of how much life there is in the soil. That's microbial. You can't even see it.
And when you add that organic matter, those things just, they come.
Yeah.
If you add it, they will come.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and healthy soil, it's been said many times, you know, as a gardener, as a tree grower, whatever the case may be, you're really just a soil manager. Because if you have your soil right, have your watering right, you really don't have, I mean, that's the key. You leave the plant alone and it'll do the rest.
Yeah. If you actually get your biology, and it takes a while to do this, but if you get your biology right in your soil, you actually don't have to fertilize, because that broken down rock, the dirt, becomes accessible through the microbes that grow in your soil. Those microbes are able to pull the nutrients out of the dirt and put it in your plant. And the healthier the soil is, the healthier the plant is, the healthier the food is that you're eating. There's a direct correlation there.
And the flavor is much richer.
Oh, yeah. A really funny story. We got a new dog 3 years ago, and I have a dog trainer, Tony Drugman, over at Doggone It. She's great. She's been helping me train my dogs for 30 years. And so she came to the house, gave me a lesson on how to train my dog, right? And I gave her a bunch of Cara navels, and she took them home. And about 15 minutes later, she called me and she said, Greg, what are those? And I said, those are Cara navels. And she said, they're nothing like I get in the grocery store. I said, of course not, because we're fertilizing right, we're foliar fertilizing, we're watering correctly, we're really making healthy soil. It will make your food pop when you have healthy soil. You know, when you get your soil right, you know it, because the food tastes amazing.
And real quick, we've got about a minute left. What are, in the spring planting time, what can you grow?
Oh my gosh. Well, go to plantingcalendar.org and download the planting calendar. It's a free planting calendar. But what goes in right now? Tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, squash. So the squash, we're probably 3 or 4 weeks out on the vining squash, cucumbers, pumpkins, those kinds of things. You can plant corn now. The grains, you can, you know, if you want to try some grains, I have a buddy up of mine, Bill McDorman, the seed guy up in Cornville, and he grows enough grain every year for his bread.